Welcome to the Almada Podcast. I'm Greg Kirk. I'm here with Russell Fawcett, one of the owners of Almada Real Estate. Welcome to the podcast,
my friend. Thanks for having me.
Hey, so tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you get your start?
So I actually born in Colorado, and so lived in Colorado for, 12 years. Moved up to Idaho, then relocated to Wisconsin. That's where I graduated. My family, my senior year, actually moved to Utah. At that point, I was not willing to move. So I lived by myself my senior year of high school. Fun life lessons from that. And then, after that, moved out to Utah, ended up going on an LDS mission to Spain, came back, went to Brigham Young University, and ended up liking Utah County, and I've stayed in Utah County. We had a year in Sugar House where I was like, nope, going back to Utah County. So that's kind of just the quick background, right? But I did go to Brigham Young University, studied, got a business degree in management. And what that actually means is I couldn't pick one thing. So I wanted to do entrepreneurship. I wanted to do accounting. I actually started in psychology.
Oh, yeah.
And I took one class and I wanted to be a psychiatrist. I say it's because I got back off my mission. I'm like, this is my life. You know, I am going to help people. And I still am doing that, but in a different way. But in my class, they said, okay, you're going to go to 4 years of undergrad.
Yeah.
Then you're going to go to med school. And then like another 3 years to be able to prescribe medicine. And I could be wrong on my numbers, but I was like, no, like this is literally the first week of college. Walked out, changed my major to business. And then, like I said, I couldn't really pick one. But the cool thing about the business management degree that I got, I was able to pick my business classes. And so whatever I wanted to take, as long as I had done the prerequisite, I could take the class. And so at that point, I did decide to go into real estate and started taking, psychology classes, real estate classes, accounting classes. So I just got to pick.
Yeah.
And so when I was getting my real estate license to be a real estate agent, I actually was in a class at the BYU Law School.
So wow. Okay.
It was like, okay, BYU Law versus, you know, real estate, getting your license. So I would say getting my license was actually fairly easy.
I was going to say, wow. Okay. So you found out that you wanted to be in real estate pretty early then.
I did.
You knew that. What drove you to that? Was it just love for real estate or?
So kind of two things with it. The first one is I actually love the product of real estate. So I like to go look at homes. Date night for me is very common to go to a model home with my wife.
Oh,
I was fantastic. Like, let's just go look at the model home. We'll stop by open houses. We go to the parade of homes. Like, I just love actually the real estate product. But growing up, I mean, full transparency, the guy that had the biggest house built homes. Yeah. So it was like, if I want a big home or I want something nice, like, let's go into real estate. And so I knew fairly early on that I wanted to get into real estate.
Yeah.
I just didn't know in what area that I would end up going down.
Yeah. And it sounds like you had that influence really early on. And so you were able to take that influence and be able to kind of run with it.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say it was so much influence. It was more I had the dream.
Okay,
right. Yeah, so he had the big home. And so driving by it, like growing up, it was like my vision board. I didn't get any experience. I didn't do anything with the person. I couldn't tell you his name. He just had a cool house.
Yeah. I like how you relate that. How it's close to a vision board, how it was just this constant reminder of this is what they do.
Right.
They build the homes. Money's in the homes, right?
Yeah.
But then also, I mean, I know you have a lot of opinions in great ways, right? I love these opinions about, you know, it being the biggest purchase that person is ever going to make for a lot of people, right?
Right.
And then also taking care of the clientele and making sure that you're actually serving the agents as well in the process.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that has come from experience, kind of my journey, even going back to like on the real estate agent side, you know, going back to my first home and how I got into that. Right. And so, you know, while I was at BYU, I was actually selling medical equipment and I was doing very well. And so it was like, okay, what do I do? Right. Like I was very good at spending a lot of money on other people's future wives. And so like, it was all about like, let me do the funnest, biggest dates and things like that. But I realized I was blowing through money. Like, I mean, just lighting it on fire. And so I started going, you know, probably a similar story. I started going to seminars of like, let me go figure out like how to make money. And I was drawn to real estate. And so I went to actually, you know, paid a small chunk of change for an educational program and ended up getting student loans for I paid a lot of money for this program.
So you like, you full on financed it and everything.
And the justification for me, even though I was a, sophomore, junior in college.
Yeah.
My justification is I'm not going to go to grad school. So I'm going to go pay grad school money for this education.
A different kind of grad school.
I could have gotten the education a lot cheaper for sure, but that was the moment I was in. And so for me, though, I went to this seminar and it was like, oh, buying a home is easy.
Yeah.
Go to the seminar within a week. I went and wrote my own contract.
Within a week.
Yeah.
That's fast.
So again, we'll probably later on talk about, you know, some secrets to success, but taking action is a big one.
Yeah.
Right. So I went out. It was, 2007. So the market was going crazy. I got one of those funny loans that like, too easy to buy a home. So I didn't know that I actually probably should have had some coaching and counsel or whatever. So got an interest only loan, stated income loan, like just went and got approved quickly, used the listing agent on it, probably overpaid interest only. And then we kind of know what happened right to the market.
But yeah,
it went crazy. Quickly upside down in the house. Oh. And so, you know, going back to a little bit of my story. So what happened? I actually was in, I did very well in medical equipment for my age. And I was like, okay, like, let's do this real estate thing. So
yeah,
shortly after I'd bought my home before the market turned, I ended up getting a job for the local Homebester franchise buying homes. So I was an acquisitions manager. We didn't close on anything. Everything was a wholesale. But my job was to go put them under contract. And I quickly found success in that too. And it was like, cool, this is easy, right? Like I replaced my income, writing contracts, buying homes, meeting with homeowners, actually loving what I'm doing. And then we had that moment where funny loans went away.
Everything,
the brakes were put on. And I went from buying 5 to 6 homes to where I only bought one home in a 6-month period.
Ooh.
And when you're on commission, like the money starts, you know, goes away. When I had joined that program, I found how easy it was to get a student loan. And these were not government, it was private student loans. So I actually continued getting student loans every semester to maintain the lifestyle, even though I wasn't buying homes.
Which gets you upside down.
So I dug a hole, right? I started digging this hole. And it all kind of came to a head when really right after I graduated, what I found myself in was I had attorney debt. Like I had went to law school.
Oh, no.
My student loans were now I had to start making payments on them. And I was completely upside down in my home. And so we, through this period, we ended up going through kind of the lowest moment for me financially. In order to make the student loan payments, I quit making payments on my home. In order to like, eventually got to the point though that I quit making payments on the student loans. I got to where I wouldn't even answer my phone.
Oh yeah. You went into default at that point.
Well, I was in default. I was in collections. Like I was a low point and I got to the point no one would give me any more money. I couldn't borrow anymore. I think one of my saving graces is that I only had a $500 credit card. So I couldn't go rack up the credit card debt. I just had the student loan debt. But we got to a point where the credit card was maxed out. No one was going to touch me with a loan. And I couldn't sell my home. I was completely upside down in it. And really where I hit that rock bottom is we ended up going through our home and pulling. We had always had the shoebox of where we just threw our spare change. You know, in that time, we still used cash a lot more than we do now. And so we ended up taking that shoebox into Walmart, dumping it into one of those coin machines to be able to buy groceries that week. And that was it, though. There was literally no more money and no more access to capital or anything like for me. And so I had that moment of like, I can't keep doing this.
you had to take action. You were forced.
I had to do something else because, I mean, I lived well, you know, new cars, house, whatever. I was doing whatever I wanted.
The image was there.
Right.
But the money to support that image but wasn't there. It was all kind of a...
Right.
I don't want to say facade, but it kind of was.
It was.
Right?
And so it was gone. So the next week, I had a job. At this point, again, market had shifted. I ended up leaving the company where I was at. I graduated. I went and got a corporate job. I lasted about 2 weeks. And I was like, nope.
That was it.
Can't do that.
You were done. No more.
And I ended up, funny thing is, though, is I was obviously not the only one in the situation of being upside down.
Yeah.
So I had joined a company where I was actually negotiating short sales. So that's what I was doing during the day. But I was paid hourly and I was making a very small wage. I ended up going and getting another job because I was like, I have to make payments now, right?
Yeah,
like I ended up short selling my home. I went about 18 months without making a payment and then sold the home. And so now I have to pay rent, right? Yeah. And I can't default on rent or I'm on the streets.
Yep.
So now I'm paying the rent. So I'm like, okay, I have my day job. I went and got a job doing some finish work in the So I would start at about 7 o'clock at night and I'd work till 1 in the morning. And I was, caulking baseboards. That was my job. So like, again, talk about some reflection moments. I was by myself. I was working for a builder. I would go into the home at night and I would just sit and I would spread the caulk, you know, smooth it out, clean it up, whatever. That was my job. And that gave me a lot of time to be like, this isn't going to work. But the thing that I did is I did dig my way out and it took some time, right? From that point, I never missed a payment again. So today, looking back, like I ended up learning credit. How can I get my credit score up? How can I do things? And I also learned to now build a reserve. So some of the lessons I learned of to make sure that I have an emergency fund, right? That I don't go into debt for consumer things.
Yeah.
We live with inside of our means, we have a budget. And so there were tons of life lessons. But the biggest one that I learned was that concept of working hard, of like, I'm working sun up till honestly 1, 2 in the morning, making my way out. But I took that work ethic into everything that I did. And so then from there ended up becoming, you know, I moved in, the market shifted again, though. So short sales went away. I was laid off again. Luckily, this time I did have some reserves, but I was done. I was like, my roommates, they all went into corporate. They're all doing a lot better than me. I'm out of real estate.
Yeah.
But that's when I actually ended up meeting with Joshua Stern. So I was doing I was doing his short sales. And so when I told him, like, I'd gotten laid off, I was out of the industry. He's like, what are you doing, dude? Like,
yeah,
come work over here for me. Because at that point, I'd moved to a law firm, negotiated short sales, built out a short sale team. We were doing about 250 files at a time.
Oh, wow.
And so I had learned systems and organization to be able to operate that many short sales at a time.
And do it really efficiently,
right?
Especially if you're doing 250 or however many short sales at a time. That's not easy.
Like, right.
That's a ton of work.
Yeah. So I was actually negotiating for most of the top producing agents in the state, like so all the way down to St. George, a lot of the top producers were using me to actually facilitate their short sales. So they would go take the listing.
Yeah.
They would bring them to our law firm and I would do the short sale. I would negotiate with the bank, get it done, wrap it up with a pretty bow and say, you know, go take your commission. And I would get my little piece over here. At the end of the day, I ended up, you know, talk with Josh and, you know, he kind of painted a picture of opportunity for me. And
he laid down the vision.
He laid down the vision.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I actually started, though, as a transaction coordinator.
Oh, wow. Really?
So I was, let me take one step back. When I got my license was June of 2009. When I was doing short sales, they came out and said, you have to have a license to negotiate short sales. So that's why I ended up getting my real estate license, worked through that. When Josh is the transaction coordinator.
Again, what is a transaction coordinator for anybody who doesn't know?
Yeah, so I would process the paperwork. So again, coming from short sales, regular transaction, I mean, I could do lots of those. You know, just making sure that all the paperwork was done, compliance was done, and then communicating with the clients of scheduling the home inspection, the appraisals, you know. And so I just essentially facilitated that transaction.
The people doing the work behind the scenes,
right,
along with the real estate agent. Yeah.
But, you know, you'll find with me is I do get bored quickly.
Probably not great for the transaction coordinator, right?
So I actually ended up going and hiring two people in the Philippines to work for me. And they were doing a lot of that. And I quickly started doing, honestly, without even being kind of promoted or given the position, of getting into the operations. Because, again, that was my business degree, going back to medical equipment. I did sales, but I actually ran the company as well. Mm. And so, you know, I started just seeing, and that was one of the things I was excited about the Stern team, of they were doing so many deals, and there was still an opportunity for the operations to be cleaned up a little bit.
Now, Stern team, I mean, that's a huge team.
Yeah.
I mean, even back then, it was absolutely huge.
Yeah. So when I joined, we were the number one team in the state, number one in Keller Williams, and had been for quite a while.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and a lot of it came from this, the systems and models that Josh had put in place. But I did find that as he was growing, our business up front was highly, highly dependent on his SOI and his database, his 10 years of grinding and pounding the phone.
Yeah, he worked really hard.
But he had a goal to go seventh level. And what that means in the millionaire real estate agent is to be able to step out of production and still have your business ran, right? And so we had started getting these contracts with different referral sources and doing, you know, different things that it wasn't so much dependent on Josh anymore. But to do that, now that's, at least for me, if you're spending money, you need to be tracking what is your ROI, what's your conversion rate, what are all your things. And those are strengths that I have. And so I quickly just kind of started doing that because the TC role I had kind of on autopilot. But I will say with all of that, I was still working the crazy hours. I was coming in at 8, leaving at 8 to 10 o'clock at night. Like I was still grinding because of the fear. I never wanted to go back to losing everything again. So I still had this, like, I got to stay on this hamster wheel. But, you know, I did that. I got joined the team. I was 11 years ago. And, you know, kind of what happened is in 2020. So prior to COVID, Josh had actually taken a year off and went and traveled. They went from Baja, Mexico, up to Alaska.
Sounds amazing.
Amazing, right? But what I realized was I was still running someone else's company.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where in my journey, COVID happened. But even during COVID, it was like, it's kind of time for me to take the next step.
Yeah.
Like I've been the medical equipment company, I was number two. At Homevestors, I was number two. At the law firm, I was number two. And at this point in my career, I was like, it's time. And in 2019, Jeremy, my business partner at Omada, Jeremy and I had actually, he was a listing agent on the team. We started flipping homes. And we did have a conversation going back to 2019. Still at that point, though, only had kind of that emergency fund.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't have, I hadn't built any kind of wealth for myself. Hmm. And Jeremy was very much in that same boat. And together we said, okay, we're going to go bigger. We're going to go bankrupt.
Yeah,
that was our mentality. And we literally had the conversations with our families of like, we're going to start taking some risk.
Yeah, we have to take these swings in order to be able to see that success, right? Everything comes with the risk.
And so we ended up having an opportunity come up for us to buy a flip. I didn't have money. She didn't have money. But we did find a hard money lender that actually lent us the money, 100% of the money to buy the home. We still had to do the repairs. Well, in one day, Jeremy got a Home Depot card, Lowe's card, and a Chase card. I got a Home Depot card, a Lowe's card, and a Chase card.
Oh, wow.
And we
were ready.
We literally did our first flip on credit cards.
Oh,
so this was a,
woo,
we're going bigger bankrupt. And it, you know, enough removed that I was like, I can't continue doing what I've done. I've recovered, right? As far as I had taken care of all my student loan debt, I've taken care of everything. Credit was back, but I still was living that paycheck to paycheck. And so we started flipping and we made money on our first one and we kept doing that. And we actually never took a dime home to our family.
Oh, yeah. We reinvested a lot of it.
We kept rolling it to the point where we weren't doing the flips on credit cards. Then we got to the point where we're using less and less hard money. And then, you know, again, now fast forward what we're talking about, 2021, really as the conversation started happening in 2020, we had put enough money away in the bank that Jeremy and I could both live on our own income or on the reserves for a year.
Nice.
And so we were to the point where it's, you know, it's time to go do our own thing. We developed a friendship. We started vacationing together and we're like, okay, it's time. And so we ended up talking with Josh, and through that conversation, we ended up deciding that our best route was actually to buy the company from Josh. And, you know, it was a huge, something that we're forever grateful that Josh was willing to kind of leave that legacy of being willing to sell what, you know, what he had built. I was a big part of it. Jeremy was our top listing agent.
Well, and the name that carries with it, like the Stern team, really well known here in Utah.
Right. So we ended up purchasing the company in 2021, and continuing to work. But what we found is we got to this point where we were trying to expand, and we're finding that the opportunity for the agents, you know, when you're a small team, there's only a certain amount of positions.
You're very limited.
And I can't promote someone that's an agent to come be a transaction coordinator. Like, as far as just income, I don't see any one job more important, but that's not going to be a step forward in career. And, you know, we were training people and we'd get them to a certain point and then they would end up leaving the team.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, thanks for the education.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to go over here now. And so we did get to that point of like, if we're going to continue to provide opportunity and keep it underneath our umbrella, we've got to grow. We've got to do something more. And so really the jump to Omada was to create a model that provided more opportunity so that we could help someone along their career path with not having to just be a stepping stone of like, let's make our vision bigger so that we can encompass the vision of everyone that comes into our world.
Yeah. And I love that you actually, with Omada, you have an actual career path for a lot of these agents where they can become brokers. They can do their thing, right?
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. And so I'm sure I'll miss some points, but kind of the idea was that we want to be able to help someone go from a brand new agent all the way to a broker / business owner. Of like, what are the natural steps? Well, when someone comes in, it's very like you go through real estate school. It's, what is it? 90? I think it's 120 now. It was 90 when I did it.
Yeah.
And you know, you're learning the laws. It's very basic. There's a lot of different good companies out there, but they're not teaching you business. Like as far as like accounting principles, they're not teaching you about taxes. They're not teaching you how to market yourself, how to brand, how to do all of these things to build your business. And so also as a new agent, I think a lot of people go in and it's actually very, very affordable to get your license.
Oh, yeah.
Versus going and buying like a big franchise or something like that. So you get a lot of people that get into our industry, get their license, and now what? Like, and I don't know the percent, but there's a lot of agents that never even do a deal.
It's like, it's high. I think it's around 95% or something that it never even do a deal.
Never do a deal or at least never renew their license after 2 years.
Yeah, maybe that's
right.
Maybe that's
and so close, we looked kind of around like, okay, well, look at other positions, appraisers, electricians, plumbers, like a lot of companies in this independent contractor world actually have an apprentice program.
Yeah, they do.
And so that's, you know, we wanted to build something that takes an agent like, okay, up front, we have a mentorship program.
Yeah.
So for your first 12 transactions, you'll actually be assigned a mentor that you can work with. And as a company, we also were like, okay, the brokerage piece, we're going to be low fee, low cap. So that when someone does a transaction as well of like, yay, I did my first transaction, percent has to go somewhere else. Right.
Yeah, and so right off the top.
So we wanted to do that. And so as far as the company, but we still, you still need education, right? And so what we have is in that mentorship program, 10% will go to your mentor, which again,
incentivization.
Right? Yeah, I mean, that's, and it only comes after you've closed. So a lot of programs, as soon as you hire the coach, you have to be paid up front, right? So we wanted to make it affordable for someone to actually come in, get trained. And on the other side of that, you know, a lot of the times when you're getting in, yes, you have your friends and family, but if you haven't nurtured and built that relationship, one or two are probably going to transact in time for you to actually make a paycheck. And a lot of people don't have time to survive that. And so that's why Omada as well is we are a lead generation company.
Yeah, quite a few leads.
Right.
Too. I mean, you've got tens of thousands of
right.
leads that if an agent comes in, they can work the database
right.
and make money faster. That's
right.
That,
and we can pull a lever, right? Like we get more agents, we'll spend more on marketing because that's something we've been able to build up to where now we have a marketing budget. And mm-hmm. so we do look at our agents coming in as partners of like, okay, we can go in and you come in, you have a mentor. You're not guessing on who to call the first day because we can actually put leads in front of you. We're going to help you start building your business as a partnership. Then from there, the idea though is, okay, I come in, I'm working Omada leads, I'm getting mentorship. So the next progression though is you'll start to turn. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, now I've worked these leads. Eventually you build up your database to where your database should sustain you and you get into more of kind of the normal opportunity of a real estate agent. But we helped you through the beginning process.
Which is the hardest part.
Right.
Usually, if somebody's coming in as a real estate agent, in my experience, because right. I used to train real estate agents, just little background there, I would always ask them right off the bat, hey, list your top 200 people in your phone, just upload everybody,
yep.
which is great if they're looking at buying.
Right.
And they may or may not even want to use the new agent to be able to do that. They might.
Yeah,
everybody knows you got, at least two.
So if you look at like searches, yeah. one of the things that shows up in every single list of what people want from an agent is someone they can trust.
Yeah.
So I say you have to have mom level trust as a brand new agent. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's like, Greg, I love you to death, but I also know this guy over here that's licensed, done some deals. And so it is tough when you're starting out with, and that's why though, even for our new agents, they can lean into the experience of their mentor.
Like you.
Yeah, like I am, if someone calls them out, right? Like, yes, I'm brand new, but I do have my mentor that is going to essentially be a partner in this transaction with us. And yeah. so we're able to lean on the experience of someone else.
Yeah. And some of these mentors, I mean, they've been in the industry forever. They've
right.
gotten a ton of transactions under their belts. Regardless of whether you're a new agent or an experienced agent, you really get a lean on some of that experience for
right.
anything that really pops up or most anything, right?
Right. And then on that, so as we go through that agent journey, though, right, it's like, okay, what's next?
Oh, yeah.
I've been slinging deals, sitting on couches, showing homes, like kind of that natural progression. Well, guess what? Like you can now become the mentor.
Yeah.
Of like, okay, now there is an income opportunity, an actual career path of, okay, I've built this. You can also build a team, right? So we can teach you how to do what we did with the Stern team of building a team powered by Omada. So if that's your career path, or if it's like, no, I just want to create a little bit of income over here, mentoring.
Yeah.
And then if you're like, hey, I want to go all in, we have a big broker opportunity.
Yeah, so, I've heard about this.
So we're not asking people to come in and buy into a franchise, but what we're doing is we're powering the independent broker of like, you retain 100% ownership. You know, you can plug into the systems and we have our kind of our payout, but now we teach you to upfront use all of our systems. But at the end of the day, we also want to train our brokers to become, you know, essentially lead generation companies as well and kind of take that place. So there is this natural progression of we're going to take you from brand new to being an agent to you can start building a team to eventually, if you want to create your own entity as a brokerage.
Be able to.
And then the nice thing about that, right? If it's built off of systems and models and not using just your database, it's a sellable asset. And
yeah,
so,
which is a major issue for
right.
most real estate agents and brokers.
Right. So a lot of the time you've worked your whole life and at the end, you know, maybe you can do a handshake agreement with someone that like, I'm going to pass my database on and you'll pay me a referral fee. Yeah. But like, we want people to actually go out and build a business. So you could actually, with our model, we are a rev share company. So that's one of the pillars we have is we do rev share 50% of the income that comes in from, you know, the broker fees. We rev share that back. You're building up, maybe being a mentor. And then when you're ready to take the next level of running your own business,
yeah.
we can help you take that step build out a company. And I mean, there's so many other things that we've skipped over, but the idea was that we want someone, there's so many people that have gotten their broker license because that's the next thing.
Yeah, it's just
but expected. Unless, you know, there's companies that pay a salary. Well, do you want to go from an agent that's, you know, doing 20, 30 deals a year to a paid? And most of the broker salaries are not going to pay you what you're making as an agent. And so I wouldn't say it's a step back, but it would be a step back in income.
Yeah.
Okay. So I go get a job or I go independent. Well, now I have all the startup, the risk and all of the things with that. Most people don't go do that because they don't have the power of, you know, essentially the tech stack and all of the things to compete with the big brokers. Or, you know, I just keep my broker license and now I'm a broker, right?
Yeah.
And they don't do anything with it. And so we did want to provide kind of like, no, there is a next step for you on your career path to building out. And you know, if you want to start a brokerage, there is some competition that comes into play, right? We will end up with some multiple brokerages, but you're competing anyways. Like at the end of the day, even though we're all a team, you know, in a company, we're all independent competing. And so we didn't feel like that was enough of a, you know, essentially a red flag or a barrier for us to say, no, we're not going to create a broker opportunity where anyone that wants to eventually go get their license and plug into the broker opportunity, they can do that.
Awesome. Fantastic. Russ, thank you so much for coming on the show today, my friend. For anybody watching, Russell Fawcett with Omada Real Estate. Thanks again and have a beautiful day.